I'm afraid not to preach. Some of my colleagues, when the spirit is high, they just sing out. I'm scared to sing out. I got to preach. If I don't do nothing but read the text, I got to please read the text. I'm scared to say, Lord, the spirit was too high. That's why I didn't preach. He went through too much trouble getting me behind the pulpit for me not to preach. And so come on and help me get to John chapter 20. Amen. Amen. John chapter 20, starting at that 15th verse, serves as our preaching material for today. John chapter 20, starting at verses 15 through 18. My little Easter speech this year. It says, he, Jesus, asked her, Mary, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Listen to this phrase. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me. That's what Jesus said. Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. I want to talk today about Mary and our risen Lord. Mary and our risen Lord. How many of you all have heard that Jesus has risen? I said, how many of you all have heard that Jesus has risen? I thank God for the resurrection of Jesus. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, you find that there are other principles to practice even on the day that Jesus rose from the grave. If you look closely enough, you see that Mary helps us think about how it's important to respect everybody. For she discovered the one she thought was just the gardener ended up being Jesus the Christ. Not only does Mary challenge us to think about respecting everyone, but she teaches us a valuable lesson about holding on. God is a big God. God is a busy God. And whenever you try to limit him and restrict him, you run the risk of trying to stop what God is up to. And then finally, the low-hanging fruit of the text is Mary challenges us to go tell everybody about the resurrection of our Lord. Walk with me now as we talk about how we should be mindful of respecting, holding, and telling. What is the pastor talking about? He's talking about respecting, holding, and telling. Respecting is the first point. Mary is distraught because she believes that the body of Jesus is missing, perhaps stolen. And in her dismay, she sees this man in the vicinity who she thinks is a gardener. And even though she was dismayed and did not have a great deal of admiration for just a gardener, she treated the man with respect. And I'm glad that she did, because who she thought was just the gardener ended up being our Lord. Can I say this under this label of respecting? Be careful how you treat ordinary people. Come on, repeat after me. Be careful how you treat Ordinary people. Mm-hmm. Now, I have ordinary people in quotes. We can have a discussion about what is ordinary, what's extraordinary. You know what I'm talking about. Ordinary people. It has been my experience that I have gone to churches from time to time, and especially when I dress casually, there's one level of care that ushers and greeters extend because they really don't know who I am. But when they find out this is Dr. Baines, the pastor of Southern Baptist Church, what a difference it makes. When they thought you was a nobody, it was like, go sit down over there somewhere. When they find out it's Dr. Baines, they say, oh, how you do, Reverend? And walk you all the way up to the front. Let me go see if the pastor is available to talk to you. Be careful how you treat ordinary people. Because God has a long history of using what some may call ordinary people. Can I build my case right quick? There was a worshiper of idols who had a son by the name of Abram. By the time God got finished with the son of an idol worshiper by the name of Abram, this ordinary person became Abraham, the father of all Abrahamic religions. The Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians all pay homage to this figure called Abraham. There was a baby floating down the Nile River. He was trying to escape the genocide attempts of the Pharaoh of Egypt. But when God got finished with the baby who was floating down the Nile, this baby became Moses, the one that God used to deliver his people from Egyptian captivity. There was a man by the name of Jesse. Jesse had a number of sons. The prophet came and said, Jesse, the Lord told me one of your sons is going to be king. And no doubt, with his Hebraic understanding, he started with his oldest son because the expectation was that if anybody's going to be anything, it got to be the oldest boy. And so they brought the oldest boy in, and the prophet said, he's nice, but he's not the one. Brought another one, that's not the one either. Brought another, that's not the one either. And they went down the line until it was almost an afterthought. Well, I got one other son, but he's the youngest one of them all. He can't be much count. He's the youngest boy. He out there watching sheep. How many of y'all know God took the youngest one out there watching sheep and turned that boy into David, a man after my own heart? There was a brother by the name of Andrew, had a brother by the name of Simon. They were fishers of fish before Jesus put his hands on them. But when the Lord got finished with them, they became fishers of men. I'm trying to get you to see God has a long history of using ordinary people. I had the opportunity, proud privilege I would add, to go to Atlanta, Georgia some time ago now, to see the Ebenezer Baptist Church. My purpose for going to the Ebenezer Baptist Church was I understood it was the place where one of my heroes in not only preaching but in community involvement was baptized, that is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I did not really know what to expect, but I went there kind of thinking that, you know, I knew where I was pastoring at. And so I knew how big Dr. King was in my thinking. And so I thought his church was going to be bigger than my church. I thought his church was going to be grander than my church. And so I didn't know how much bigger, how much grander. I just had some vague expectations. When I got to Atlanta, Georgia, they showed me the new Ebenezer across the street from the old Ebenezer. The new Ebenezer is a beautiful building. It's grand. It's large. It's nice. I really like it. I wish I could have got in the pulpit and hollered just one time, but they probably would have thrown me out. It was a gorgeous building, the new Ebenezer, but that's not what I came to see. I came to see the Ebenezer that my hero had been baptized in and that he had pastored. And to my conflicted understanding, it was nothing all that extraordinary about the building. It was not an embarrassing building. I mean, it's not like it's a little storefront. Nothing bad about the building. It was a nice building, but it just looked too small for Dr. King to be in. And as I wrestled with what I was expecting and what I experienced, I would like to thank the Lord, reminded me that just like he raised the Dr. King up out of such an ordinary situation, every time I preach, I need to preach as if there's a young Dr. King sitting in the pew. And, you know, then the Lord told me in preparation for today's sermon that you can underline this point because this church already has a history of raising up some Dr. Kings. It was no surprise to me that Brother Ozzie Davis came in church on today. Basketball season is lightening up a little bit that he coaches. You may not know, especially if you don't live in Avondale, that this is called the Redding Corridor. And literally millions of dollars of development are going on right here on Redding Road. If you look at the Ponziana, right here to our left, you see all kinds of major renovation going on. If you look up the street, across the street, there's all kinds of major renovation going on. If you look across the street from the Urban League, all kinds of renovation and development is going on. If you look a little bit closer, you'll see Ozzie Davis's fingerprints over all of it because he's the executive director of the Avondale Comprehensive Development Corporation. Somebody say, wow. I'm trying to get you to see what happens in ordinary situations. That beyond Brother Davis, Sister Patricia Milton, the president of the Avondale Community Council, she oversees, and if she doesn't sign, believe me, she nods. Whatever happened, you know what we might as well call Patricia? We might as well call her the mayor of Avondale. Amen. Because even the mayor of the city knows Patricia Milton's first and last name. Because whatever is coming through here, you can believe she done at least nodded and said, okay. But her roots come through Southern Baptist Church. It was no surprise this morning to see Dr. Clyde Henderson sitting in the worship experience. And if folk did not know who Dr. Henderson was, they would just assume it's just an ordinary man sitting in the worship experience. But if you saw what he does week in, week out on the human body and how he takes people who are broke down to be able to stand back up, then you would understand that God can do extraordinary things in what others have described as ordinary. I'm going to have to pay for this when I leave, but let me just say it since I got the mic. Brother Keith Caldwell is one that is always hiding incognito. Certified public accountant, does all kinds of major stuff in the community, and he just blends right. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw Caldwell wear a suit. He just looks, just blends into stuff, but does a marvelous work. And we could go down the list. Here is where somebody want to remind me of Judge Bunyan and others. I think you got the point. What I'm trying to get you to see is right here in the hood, God is already doing major things through the lives of our people. And he's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. That God can do a major work in and through your life if you can get past the idea that you got to be large for God to use you. God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things if you could just bow down and trust his will. I do the best I can to remind our young people that it might not be cool, but it's helpful to practice what we used to call polite language. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Please. May I? Thank you. Still goes a long ways. Because these folk, you running around here thinking, well, they just old and all in the way. You'd be surprised how some of these old folk can put a good word in for you. Help you get a job, help you get your first car, help you get your first apartment, help you move along in life. You never know who you're sitting next to. I'm trying to get you to see. Be careful how you treat ordinary people. Psalms 139 verse 14. Psalm 139 verse 14 talks about how we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. This is not just applicable to middle class folk, but everybody that got breath in their body has been fearfully and wonderfully made. Be careful how you treat ordinary people. James chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. James chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. I think they're going to put that up on the screen for you. Listen to this. It says, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Be careful how you treat ordinary people. When you walk into the office thinking you're going to see the important person, be careful how you treat the secretary at the desk. Be careful how you treat the janitor you walk by in the hallway, because you never know the relationship between the janitor and the person you're going to talk to. For all you know, the reception that you just ignored is the CEO's daughter. You got to be careful how you treat people. And then if by chance you feel like you are the gardener, you are the ordinary person, perhaps you feel as if you there's nothing special about you, and perhaps you feel that way because people have been bold enough to say there's nothing special about you, that there's nobody who call you awesome, nobody says you're doing an outstanding job, people always throwing up in your face where you were born at, where you went to school at, how you haven't done much with your life. If you feel like you are the gardener, the preacher came by to tell you God can do great things in and through your life. And if you are ordinary, that's not a strike against you. That's a plus. Because there are some people that got so much going for them that God got to tear all of that down before he can do anything in their life. There are some folk who are just so smart, they got so much education, they got so many credentials, that God got to strip them all the way down before God can get any glory out of their life. There are some folk who think their education brought them. Some people think their contacts brought them. Some people think mama and them brought them. And sometimes the Lord got to strip all of that down so we can see it wasn't none of them. It was actually the Lord who brought us. And so if you understand that you are ordinary, there's already some stuff out of the way that God can use you. There's a text I love to preach to myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's so important for you to get this point, because if you want God to use you, you got to understand it's God using a pile of clay. It's God using a jar. It's God using a clay pot. None of us are all of that. Everybody sitting up in here ought to be able to identify with being ordinary. Now, the only thing that might have you a little confused is what God has put in your ordinary self. If God ever took his stuff out, you would have no problem identifying with ordinary, because the very thoughts you think come from the Lord. The clothes you wear come from the Lord. The house you sleep in came from the Lord. The job you're so proud of came from the Lord. And if God God, see, you can't handle it. The same God who give, baby, he's able to take it away. You ought to respect and be careful how you treat ordinary people. And don't play yourself cheap. Your dad wasn't a preacher. Your mama didn't go to church. This is the first time you've been in church all year long and people looking at you sideways. Don't pay them people no mind. They've been here all year and ain't doing much better than you doing, so that ain't nothing. Your excuse is, I didn't hear all of those sermons, so don't worry about all that. The preacher's telling you, no matter how ordinary your lot in life may be, if you say yes to the Lord can do a new thing and a big thing and a great thing in and through your life. It is amazing, but it is no secret what God can do. Whatever he's done in the lives of others, he's able to do the same and even more for you. Don't let people talk you down. If you're a gardener, that's cool. It's better to be a gardener with the Lord than to be the CEO on your way to hell. Yeah, yeah. At least you got a job. You're a gardener. Respecting is what I was just talking about. I need to say something about holding now. Notice that when Mary understood that gardener was Jesus, then she wanted to try to hold on to him. Now, it's interesting to me that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, Matthew 28 and 9, Jesus allows Mary to hold on to him. The text talks about they came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Now, why would the Lord let them hold on to him in Matthew 28, verse 9, but say, don't hold on to me over here in John chapter 20? I think that's a good question for you to ask the Lord when you see him. What I'm telling you is, in John chapter 20, the Lord said, don't hold on to me. And I am convinced that God is a big God, and God is a busy God, and he does not want us to try to restrict him and squeeze him into a small little box. God is a big God. There are some people who like to call my Lord when there's pain in their life, and they want God to be their pain killer. But God is bigger than just a pain killer. Sometimes the Lord gives us power to fight against what's causing pain in our life. There are some people who are professional victims, and you use God as a dry handkerchief to wipe your victim tears away. But the Lord is bigger than just being a pacifier for a bunch of victims. The Lord gives us power to be victorious. He gives us power to fight the enemy. We're soldiers. We're not wimps. We're not hiding in the foxhole waiting for the battle to blow over. We're on the front line. We got on uniform. We got on our armor. That there, you don't put a breastplate and a sword in the hand of a wimp. You put a breastplate and you put a sword in the hand and a helmet on the head of soldiers. God is bigger than a painkiller. He's bigger than a healer. There are those whose bodies are giving out on them. And we want the Lord to heal our body, which I think is a good prayer. But the preacher came by to tell you that even if the Lord heal you this time, we all have a date with death. I thank God for raising Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. But how many of y'all know he raised him from the dead and then he just had to die all over again? Everybody sitting up in here got a date with death. God is bigger than someone who heals our body and patch us back together again. God can also give us peace in transitioning from mortality to immortality. Now, this might sound like some philosophical preacher stuff. I tell you what to do. Keep on having birthdays and come back to this notion of how God can give you peace in making transition. Go to enough funerals and see how over the years these words become more and more important to you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you're young, those are just some nice flowery church preacher words, but keep on having birthdays and keep walking by the casket, and you'll learn that there's power in knowing to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God is bigger than a healer. He can give you peace in the midst of transition. God is bigger than one who gives us traditional family and stuff. There are always those who pray, Lord, send me a spouse and give me 2.5 children. And Lord, give me a nice house and a nice car and give me all of the stuff that people my age ought to have. But the preacher came by to tell you that God is bigger than your expectations. God can do great things in your life when you're single. God can do great things in your life when you're childless. God can do great things in your life even if you're not in the middle class. God don't need all of that stuff to do great stuff in your life. God is a big God. If I've learned anything with my seminary education, I've learned that God is big. Perhaps an illustration that helps you understand how big God is if you could picture three blind people trying to describe an elephant. If you put one blind person in front of the elephant, the blind person no doubt would describe the tusk of the elephant, the trunk of the elephant. Why? Because that's what the blind person in front of the elephant is experiencing. These are valid experiences. But if you put a blind man on the side of the elephant, he will not tell you anything about the tusk or the trunk, because that's not his experience. He would tell you this thing got a real big stomach. The skin is rough. It's a great big stomach of an animal. Why? Because that's the blind man's experience from the side of the elephant. Put the third blind man in the back of the elephant, and his description would be that of very strong legs, a tail is long, but at the end of it is a bunch of hair. It's a big thing. Can you see how all three blind people are describing the same elephant? Extremely different descriptions, but all talking about their own experience. The issue is the elephant is just so big, no one description does it justice. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you, if the elephant is that big, then you can only imagine how big God is. What I've learned in my education is that I don't have to be ashamed of my Black Baptist heritage. I have an experience with God. Don't need anybody's permission to say I've had an experience with him. Don't need anybody's confirmation. I know the Lord for myself. But what I've also discovered is God is bigger than my experience. I've learned to stop being so critical of the white experience with him and the Hispanics experience with him and the Pentecostals experience with him and the Methodists experience with him. God is a big God. And whenever we try to put him in our little box, whenever we try to hold him in the area that's comfortable for us, we run a risk of being in the way of what God is trying to do in times like these. What a word for us with our traditional selves, because we surely live in a non-traditional world. Some of the stuff we did 20, 30, and y'all did 50 and 60 years ago, it was great for them. But how many of y'all know that was then, and this is now? Finally now, before y'all being fell asleep on me, I ought to say something about telling. When you read the story, we see how we are inspired to make sure we're working on respecting one another. We talk about the danger of trying to hold on to God in our comfort zones. Finally, we see telling. The Lord tells Mary, "Go tell my disciples that I'm going to meet them." I want to tell you that every believer has some telling to do. Can I spend a few minutes in this area? Every believer has some telling to do. Well, we have some things to tell the world. We can tell the world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can tell the world that he did die one Friday, but early Sunday morning, he rose with all power. We can tell the world that all power includes the power to help us stop killing one another. All power includes the power to help us educate our children. All power includes the power to help the worst of humanity be transformed. And all power includes the power to help the best of humanity to keep their hands in the Lord's hands. We have so much to tell. But not only do we have a telling ministry to the world, but can I remind you that every now and then we ought to talk with one another. Yeah, what shall we say when we come to times like this? I think we ought to remind one another that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. What shall we say to one another? We ought to remind one another that we don't have to fret ourselves because of evildoers. They are soon cut down. What shall we say when we gather like this? Somebody ought to sing, God is still working things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. I got to come in here now, but I thank God for the marvelous privilege to be an ordained teller of his word. One of my preaching role models now sleeps with the Lord. His name was Dr. Morris Smith, Smith with a Y. He had Alabama roots, but he was pastoring up in Dayton. I heard him preach one day, talking about the privilege of being called to preach. Dr. Smith said, with his agrarian background, with his farming background, he said, I'm thankful that God called me to be a preacher, because God had so many options, but he chose me. He went on to say that God could have called a cow, and the cow would have been happy to move out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Smith said that God could have called a mule, and the mule would have been happy to kick out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Smith said that God could have called a rooster And the rooster would have been more than happy to tell a dying world that Jesus saves to the unknown. Thank you, Dr. Smith. But I did not grow up with this list of animals. Born and raised in the city. But let me add to the list. God could have called a dog to preach the gospel. And the dog would have been happy to bark out. The wages of sin are still death. And God could have called cats that would have been happy to meow out that the gift of God is eternal life. I believe there are some birds that would have been happy to chirp out and sing out the sweet songs of Zion. But God, yes, decided to call me, and I'm thankful for the privilege to tell anybody who will listen that there is a God. He does sit high, but he looks down low, and he's willing to take your life from the gutter, clean you up, turn you around, place your feet on a higher ground. I'm so glad somebody told me about this Jesus. I gotta come in here now, but I'm glad that no matter what you're facing in your life, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead is able to help you get through whatever is in your life. I wish I could preach so well that you would never have to cry another tear. I wish I could pray so well that you would not have any more trouble in your life. I wish I could sing so well that you would not have any more burdens that you would have to bear. But I don't have it like that. But what I do have is faith that the same God that got Jesus through Bloody Friday to resurrection Sunday morning, that same God can get you through whatever is going on in your life. If the doctor has given you bad news, I'm here to tell you, I know the doctor of the doctor. He can override whatever your doctor told you about your body. If your money is funny, my God still owns the cattle upon a thousand hills, and my God owns the hill that the cattle are on, and my God owns the earth that the hill is on. If people are acting funny and left you at your time of need, my God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's nothing that you can get in that God can't get you out. Whatever's impossible for people is possible with God. My God specializes in turning hopeless situations around. Pick up your hand. Oh, my brother, I don't care where you were born. I don't care about your lineage. I don't care how often or how few times you've been to church. My God specializes in taking ordinary people, just ordinary clay jars, turn their whole life around. I'm not telling you just what I heard. I'm telling you what he's done for me. You can't start my story in 2016. You gotta back and start in 1966. You can't start here. This is the middle of the story. When y'all met me, I already had bars on my arm. When y'all met me, I was already driving. When y'all met me, I already had a few things going for me. But if you want to know why my education has not stole my hoop, you gotta back and start at the beginning of the story. I remember when I didn't have any bars on my arm. I still remember how to catch the bus and get a transfer. I still remember how to walk because I had to make sure bus fare would stretch. It hasn't always been the way it is now. If y'all grew up where I grew up, then you would understand my affection for a place like Avondale. I'm telling you, God can take you from places of low expectation. He can take you from the ghettos. He can take you from the worst schools in the city. He can take you from being tempted by gang activity. He can put a song down in your heart. He can put a direction in your mind. While others are being strung out on drugs and drinking uncle's alcohol, the Lord can speak to your mind and tell you, I got something greater for your life. I got something greater for your life. When parents, when teachers tell you you're not gonna be much count, don't pay them no mind. God has the last word. God can do a great work in your life. All you gotta do is just tell the Lord, here I am. You don't have much to work with, but if you can use my mouth, I'll say what you want me to say. Here's my feet, I'll go where you want me to go. Can anybody testify that God will use you and do a marvelous work through your life? This sister came and shared her thankfulness for the gifts we gave to nevertheless. Do you know why I love to give? Because God, yes, has implemented a law of the harvest. It says, from now on, if you sow, I'd make sure that you reap. Isn't that good news? The reason I love to give, because every time I give, I'm just sowing a few more seeds. These young ladies may never know about Southern, but God knows. Isn't that good news? And when God gets ready to bless the harvest, God blesses the sower and the reaper. Isn't that good news? I gotta quit here, but pick up your head. I don't care where you're living, how you're living, as long as God is still alive, he can transform your life, he can pick you up, he can clean you out, he can dry you out. You might be sitting here, right here, right now, still a little buzz. I ain't hating on you. God can clear up your mind. God can give you a new direction. God can make you the first in your family to graduate from college, to own your business, to do big things. Let him use you. I said let him use you. Look over and just tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, let the Lord use you. Let him 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 use you. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not yet entered the hearts or the imagination of people what God has already planned for those who love the Lord. Don't let anybody, including yourself, convince you that God can't do anything with you. Did you hear what I said? Don't let anybody, including yourself, convince you that God can't do anything in your life. Everybody sitting up in here talk to themselves. And sometimes we are our worst enemy. Don't let anybody, including yourself, convince you that God cannot do a great work in your life. Everybody sitting up in here need to know that God has a long history of using ordinary people, and God has a big plan. It's too big for us to understand. We just got to walk by faith and trust God with the big picture. We're just trying to do our little part in the program. And one of the ministries that all of us have is the ministry of telling somebody. There are people in your life who will hear you give the invitation to come to this preaching series on next week. They won't listen to the preacher. They won't listen to the deacon, but they'll listen to you. And my prayer is that you would let the Lord use you and understand that if you just sow the seed, you may never get a chance to see it grow, but if you just sow the seed, the Lord will see to it that we all reap what we sow. Would you stand? The invitation is extended.